today we're going to be reviewing 7000 Wisconsin Avenue. The meeting is being recorded and recordings will go on the website. So again, that presentation for about 10 to 15 minutes. We'll have comments from the panel, and then if there's available time, we'll have comments from the public.
Great, thank you. Bob Dalrymple with Linos and Blocker here on behalf of the applicant. I'll just ask our project team to identify themselves. That usually works best. Todd?
Todd Jacobus, Woodfield Development Company.
Tim Eden, Star Capital.
Dennis Connors, SKNI Architects.
Marius Brothers, SKNI Architects.
Matt Gordon, Linos and Blocker.
So thanks for having us in. Again, this is the second time you've seen this project. You saw it originally, I guess, about 5 weeks ago or so. And we received some of your feedback, and I think that the feeling of the committee was that there were enough big picture issues that you wanted to see it again before we went to the board, even on the at the sketch plan level. I would say that the major change that's happened, I'm not going to talk long, I'm going to turn it over to the design team here in a second, but the main issue that came up before was the proposal to put a community theater in the project, and as a result of that, we'll also get an additional floor of height. And our details at that point in time were admittedly quite sketchy for sketch plan, right?
Hey.
Thank you. I've been working on that one. You know, we received a lot of comments on that community theater and a lot of conflicting comments, if you will, to the point where it just seemed to us that this was pretty untenable at this location, given all of the requirements and the lack of specificity in terms of what would be needed for a black box theater. And so, you know, I think that on balance, after that meeting, we went back and thought long and hard about it and came to the conclusion that we wouldn't be doing a community theater. So the project is back before you now without that. There's still some other things that we have been asked to focus on, which we will. And most notably, I guess, is a mid-block connection. If you'll recall, there's a bit of a conflict between the design guidelines and the sector plan here, in that the design guidelines suggest that for an interior lot such as this, that the ground floors would create a unified building wall along the street, which would, you know, suggest that we go butt to butt with the neighboring properties at the ground level and then step back at the upper levels. The sector plan, however, recommends that there be a mid-block crossing on the northern edge of this interior lot, which obviously would be counter to the idea of having a continuous ground floor building wall. So the direction given to us by the staff, and I believe by you all as well, was pursue the mid-block connection, which we are still continuing to do, and it is evolving. The mid-block before was dominated by the potential presence of the community theater. So with that gone, we've refocused the uses that would be successful at that ground level to activate the mid-block connection. And we also have worked with the property owners, you know, to the north and south, albeit we're not authorized to speak on behalf of any of the property owners, including the Alden properties, Nancy Reglin. But interior, you know, with respect to this block, it is important that the property owners coordinate, and the mid-block connection is dependent upon the property owner to the north also providing a part of that connection when it redevelops in the future. So I'll stop at this point. Oh, the other issue is the public alley, and it's not an insignificant issue. It's a major issue. It is the means of ingress and egress to this property and to other properties in this block. And we have received pretty clear feedback from State Highway that we aren't being allowed to access Wisconsin Avenue. So our access to this property is from the alley. It's an existing condition. The alley is, it's a dedicated right of way, but the alley itself functions in a way that while it works perhaps in a manner that's a little bit different than how it was originally dedicated. So there's a lot to work on there, but we're focusing on making that an improved public space and certainly an improved means of ingress and egress. And it, that also will evolve over time as other properties come along and redevelop. So I'm going to turn it over at this point to the SKI folks and ask them to walk you through some of the changes that we've made to the facade, to the step backs and setbacks and the likes of that. Speak up.
So this is the alleyway that we talked about, the through block connection from Wisconsin Avenue, few steps down to again the access, the vehicular access would be around this point. And then this is a law for the current conditions for the property line and the dedication line.
Yeah, you're going to have to speak way up because we can't hear you down at this end.
So a couple of views from Wisconsin Avenue at various points. This is the, they are labeled this way. So this looking north, and this is the property right at Bradley, where the CVS is right here, or Staples and CVS. And our property is this way. Is this a Verizon building or a switchgear building across the street? This one, right across from Trader Joe. The current conditions and those views are from the alley. This is the an area that shows, based on the sector plan and the guidelines, what building should be if we extrude the whole thing up. So we have a 10-foot setback. The maximum height will be 120. FAR and the zones 3.4. And this is a, from the guideline, this is a just a print of what the guideline says. And this page is a couple of alternates on how to deal with various conditions. So it's basically you can pick alternate methods to satisfy the guidelines. And this is a sequence of diagrams that show how we model the building, how we scout it, if you will. So on the left-hand side is basically a straight shot of what would be if you just exclude from the guideline, and then what we try to do. So we want to have a base that has a retail component, has a lobby, and then addresses the these true block conditions. Then we are setting the building back about 80 foot, and we are setting back about 5 feet. And in the back, we also shrink the building from the south and from the alleyway, and also from the north side on this side. This is another set of diagrams explaining more from the Wisconsin Avenue what we are proposing to do. Again, we want to have a two-story base, a strong reading for the base addressing the pedestrian conditions and the Wisconsin Avenue nature. What is shown in this light pink is the retail portion, and then how the building steps back at about 80 foot high, 5 foot in. On these images, we have a couple of precedents and what we envision for the various conditions. On the left-hand side is the retail and the pedestrian conditions on Wisconsin Avenue, and we want to have an active presence, opportunity for retail, for outdoor seating and such. Then on the upper portion of the slide, we have two images of how the through block connection could work when it's covered by the building above. So we want to create a sculptural element that creates a friendly environment conducive to pedestrian access to the alleyway. And those images, they emphasize how the alleyway could work. So some of them are from the Gaddis Alley, and this is Union Row on 14th Street. This one I don't remember exactly the image from, but what we want is to have a very active, very residential alleyway in nature. We know that we have accesses right now on a couple of buildings to the east of us, but anyway, we want the scale and the landscape, the hardscape to be such to be a friendly, usable, safe environment. And this is on the left is what we are proposing. So on the far left is the Wisconsin level going under the building through this sculptural element. And then there are steps going down. The red line reflects the curving property line. And then we used to have the black box theater. Now we have units that have doors or access through this alleyway, sort of porches, if you want. Not in a dissimilar way than what you see in this image, which is taken from the alleyway. So there are a couple of units that have direct access through the units to the alleyway. So we want to emulate the same thing. So there is activity always on the alleyway. Here's another image. This is Gaddis Alley, north looking south. Actually, no, west looking east, I'm sorry. So the Key Bridge would be this way, and this would be towards Wisconsin Avenue. This is a typical floor plan showing various conditions with the setbacks. And then we have from 9th to 12th floor, we have a setback. And then actually on the, this would be the southwest, we have a podium that matches the first floor on Wisconsin Avenue and is 2 stories high on the alleyway. The garage would be access and the loading dock would be on that side. And this would be a outdoor terrace amenity for the units. And this is a complete setback, full height on this side, on the north side. These two conditions, they reflect two, so on the left-hand side is what we would like to do, and on the other one, it shows the height at 70 foot. So what we are proposing to have a setback at 80 foot, and this shows the condition at 70 foot. And we like the conditions here better because it establishes a better proportion for the Wisconsin Avenue frontage, and rather than have a sort of a 50-50 conditions, which in our opinion is unbalanced. If this would be a needle, as is shown in the guidelines, when you have a 300-foot tower, then having a slim, slender, low ring of the base probably would be okay. But in our conditions, the building was kind of square. So this one is a better proportion for the base, middle, and the top at 80 foot.
And we have gone from 90 to 80 since they've seen it. So it was at 90 and we took it down 10.
Right, so the beginning was 1 story higher. This was 1 story higher, we took it down. But we think that this is an ideal solution for when we go to 70.
So the distinction between these two is only the height of the middle tier.
It's only this line. So this line is on this, on the left hand side is at 80 foot, and this is at 70 foot. And again, we are concerned about the relation between the top and the rest of the building. So here is almost like half and half, but not quite. So when it's half and half, or not quite, looks like a mistake. And if you have maybe a third, two thirds, looks like a deliberate gesture. That's why we would like to have that reading. And then we want, as in previous, we want to preserve this two-story reading for the base, although the retail, which is about 14 foot high, if I'm not mistaken, is only one store, but we want to extend that. Again, I think we need to make, because of the condition of Wisconsin is very large at this point, it's a busy traffic, and the amount of buildings and the height of the scale of these buildings that are getting built, I think having this two-story reading, which in total will be about 24 feet high, is the way to go. That will translate into a nice through block connection that is has a certain height, and then we want the lobby on the other side to balance the same type of view.
So the two buildings to the south, two existing buildings to the south that are already high-density buildings to the south are the Adagio, and then it's an older office building with the post office in the ground floor.
Right.
Are those both at 80 feet right now, or around?
I think the office building is a little taller. It's about 90, I believe. And the Adagio is about an eight-story building, but it does have a slight setback. To
the yes, it's...
Right, and then it pops up towards the corner.
Towards
so
CBS.
It has multiple heights, but they're all around 80 or more.
And this is the last lot.
So are you proposing below, I'm assuming it's below grade parking, underground
still
parking?
Still the same, yes.
And where's the access to the parking garage and also the loading?
So the loading and parking garage are in this area.
That's right.
From the alley.
How wide is the alleyway, building face to building face?
I think this alleyway is 20 foot between those two lines, but
it depends where you measure.
At your site.
So, for instance, from the property line to the property line, it's 20 feet. Mm-hmm. But then there's another at least 10 feet or so of space on the southern properties.
Those steps,
and then
it's close to this property.
Probably a bit over 30 feet. I'm not sure of the exact measure.
But you're right on the property line.
You're right on the property line.
Yes.
Your building.
Correct.
And so making those turning motion movements into. And is the alley one way or two ways or what?
Well, one clarity though, that right now the existing paved alley is not on the property line. So that line there is actually further south than the property line. So there's about a 6 foot or so difference, I believe. So it would be 6 feet, 20 feet, that's 26 feet. And then whatever that dimension is there, and then plus the dimensions of the building face.
We've done the turning movement exercise, and what the alley is going to allow is you can come to the site from both Woodmont Avenue and from Bradley, but exiting the site, both trucks at least will have to exit via Bradley.
So this is the loading dock.
Yeah, that's right.
But the alley then is two ways.
Correct.
But trucks have to come in from Bradley and leave from Bradley.
They have to leave from Bradley. I think they can come in from both.
See, I'm concerned that we don't have that drawing that really shows all that in all the dimensions, etc.
It is very congested back there.
It's
right
very
now.
Congested.
Yeah. And that's a lot of dumpsters, as you all know. Maybe not on your property, but the adjacent properties that line that. Basically, only one vehicle can get through there at a time.
Yeah. Certainly, from our property north, that's the case. From our property south, that's not the case. It's full two-way movement from our property south out to Bradley.
I just wish we had that drawing that showed all those dimensions laid out, etc., and where the choke points are, where the dumpsters are, and all these other adjacent properties, because we're putting a lot of pressure on that alley. Let's be perfectly honest. It's not going to be Kenny's Alley.
So last time we met, you had some quick sketch overlays showing how that alley through-block connection could be embraced by the adjacent property. But what I understand, Washington Properties really has no plans for the foreseeable future to redevelop this. So you're going to end up with basically a condition like this.
Landing on somebody else's property.
Landing on either somebody's property or back into, yeah, landing
no, that's
on property.
No, that's an easement where it drops out to you right there. Area.
So this, there's this space here, 19 feet wide,
uh-huh.
is a shared easement between
oh,
two
okay.
properties.
Yeah.
And this additional 5 to 6 feet here
okay.
is a setback.
Setback.
So the, yeah, there, that's it.
So let me ask the question I wanted to ask. Why aren't you proposing the through block connection on the south side instead of the north side where you fully control it?
Well, one key reason is because currently the properties here to the south would block any sort of transition through to the next street. This one here closely aligns, not exactly aligned, but closely aligns with the existing gap between these two buildings.
That's what
there's pathways
well,
that lead
I
down
to
the next street.
It would help us to see that as a kind of a master plan.
Right, we have to see that.
The aerial.
Yeah. The aerial is always is makes it look like.
Yeah. See, I have walked through there before.
There's an existing gap and a paved pathway here that leads into this street.
In those residential properties on the opposite side of the alley, is there separate ownership between in that gap?
Yes, between the on you're talking about on the ones that front Strathmore Street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So let me raise some other issues. First off, it's inevitable this whole long stretch is going to get redeveloped, and I support, you know, the redevelopment of this particular property, but I'm really troubled by the lack of adherence to the design guidelines. And the design guidelines call for a setback of 10 to 15 feet on Wisconsin, and you're showing 5. Design guidelines say the base should be 30 to 70 feet, and you're telling me you want it really at 80 feet. Design guidelines, when you go above 120 feet, require tower separation. Yeah, I know you're at 122 right now. But when you go below 120, you're required to mitigate that through alternative means, and I don't see any attempt to really do that, to articulate the tower, differentiate the tower. So, I mean, I have to be honest with you guys. I'm just really troubled by this project.
So I'm sure that you guys have done this exercise. Remind me again the size of the property. Did I read 20,000 square feet total?
The footprint of the square footage?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's thereabouts, right,
tiny,
Dennis?
Right.
It's,
we have it out front.
What is it?
The size of the lot?
Yeah. 22,000 net, 30,000 gross.
I mean, so
the net lot is about 20,000 square feet.
So I'm sure you guys have done the exercises. If you were to build this out per the design guidelines, as Rod just kind of laid out, like what does that net you from a square foot standpoint? I mean, like, is it not working? Is that why you're not proposing it like that?
Well, I mean, it is a tight site. It's an internal lot, obviously. So, you know, the design guidelines, I think, also relate more to the taller buildings. This is a fairly short building. So I think that, you know, I do think that we have laid out how it alternatively meets the guidelines. We cannot do all of the strict adherence to the guidelines because it would dwindle the density of the site to an infeasible point.
I mean, that's my question.
Yeah.
Is that what's happening and that's why you're not proposing it like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe
there's a combination of things too that also, the amount of open space for the courtyard to create a viable mixed-use residential project would get further constrained. And in addition to that, you know, when you provide these setbacks, they work very well in non-residential buildings. They work very well in office buildings and buildings of that nature. But say, for instance, on Wisconsin Avenue, you go from a unit, especially since they're facing
east.
east, east. They only get morning sun. If you go from a unit that is, say, 30 feet deep to 40 feet deep, suddenly that unit becomes a very bad unit for the majority of the project.
So yeah, I mean, I think you demonstrated it with your blocking and massing,
yeah,
where you started snipping at it.
Correct. Right.
If you go down, Marius, please, two more. To these, well, no.
Go back
to the...
Keep going.
One more actually before that. On the left there.
Exactly.
I think what you're starting, you know, and you have an unlivable block of density. So what Dennis is explaining is how to get light and air and separation and everything.
It's a holistic approach.
Yeah, so I mean,
From the inside out.
We've got to do something immediately. And then what we proffered immediately from the beginning to try to win design approval was this through block connection. That's a big kind of...
That's a game
changer. Concession for us, and so...
It's not a concession. It's something that you would have to do for sector plan.
Bad choice of words, but certainly something that is...
It's a significant impact on the property from a design standpoint.
If you can shoot an unconstrained property in downtown today.
agreed. But it's an important set of...
I think what you're hearing is that your design solution, so I think you went the wrong way. I think your unit would go from 40 to 30.
You'd go from 30 to 40.
And we'd have better light. I think pushing this back 5 feet. Can you go to the one where you showed the Wisconsin Avenue facade?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all you've done. And so I think at least, I'm just speaking for myself. I think this facade is really close to a massing diagram. I don't think it, I think there are some very subtle things, but I mean the back facade where you have it stepped, I think is much more successful in breaking the massing of the building than this is. I mean that's what I hear from what Rob says.
Well, I think when I look at the design here, I mean it seems to me that this building should be the most simplest building in the world to just design. It's going to be a background building. It's not an object building in any way, shape, or form. It's mid-block. It's a medium height to the rest of the city. And it seems to me if you would just do a base and then the rest of the building and have the setback what's required, you're done. I mean, really, you're done. But what is happening here, I don't like either design, at least as a design standpoint. I'm not talking about massing right now. Because what I see is each of these buildings has a base, but then you made the middle like this really important thing where the middle should almost be recessed and less important. I mean, if you just did the two-story, for instance, and made that important, made a wonderful design, and then the rest of it go up, and you have your setback right after your base.
Yeah,
I think you're done.
It occurred to me you should lower the base.
Yeah,
You guys should answer this, but I'm assuming they did that to fit the existing two buildings that are to the south.
Well, no, the guidelines call for a base to be 30 to 7 feet tall, right? And the 30 would be better than the 70, and basically set this up. I mean, the issue with this project is it's really the first major development since the adoption of this master plan, and it's going to set the precedent. And so it needs to be done right. And simpler, I agree with you, Paul. Simpler would be better.
I think what you said about the 50-50 split, I think you're right.
Yeah,
I agree with you on that. But I think instead of going up, I would go down, and then just make a base and then a building on top of it.
Are you flexible on the setbacks?
Well, just to go back to the other point, this is the adagio here.
Yeah.
And this is face on line, comes right. There's no setback. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the office building next door, there's no setback.
Right.
And then the new building up here, I know this wasn't done in the design guidance, but not the bay projects, but the main frame of the building is on line. So when you interject a mid-block condition, we feel, the design team feels, if this building comes online, it's almost going to be a complete anomaly. It'll be weird because all of a sudden you have a prominent building that just gets set back after the resurface.
But
that's what we feel as far as responding to the urban context.
Right, if you look at the Adagio and then look at all the development to the north of that, I mean, you're setting up the precedent really for all the development on that street. And quite frankly, it should be done right. And, you know, the same application of those standards will apply to those other buildings.
And this isn't going to be the first time you hear this, because when you go to the board, you're going to hear it loud and clear. They're going to say it louder than what we're saying right now, I believe. At least from my last four or five experiences listening to the board, this is a huge issue that we're not following the guidelines, and you know, why not? And so they're going to ask the question, I'm telling you right now. And so I think what we're saying is something that should be considered pretty clearly.
So if you were to do that, could you still achieve the same density or similar density to what you're proposing?
Right, just if you said 15 foot back, by the time you put two stairs, elevator, lobby, trash chute, air corridor supply, there's nothing, and there's not enough depth. And by the way, to make it feasible, you have also to stack all the wet stacks, all the plumbing. So then that's what the unity and flexibility is, because you need to stack that. So I have the bathroom in the same location. I have a bedroom that is 40 foot, the other one is 20 foot. Doesn't fit.
Yeah, I just think there's a better argument for it. If you're coming down with the base, you're lowering it, then you're going to be stacking all of those units above perfectly
once.
Well.
Yeah.
And then the only offset is the one or two floors at your base that you're going out a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so I think I don't think we're talking about a 15-foot change here. We're talking about probably a 5-foot change. And I think it can be accommodated, you know, by adjusting the whole building just a little bit to try to gain it back.
But on the scale of Wisconsin Avenue, as is going to be in the next few years, to have just a 35-foot base, I think is going to be insignificant. When all the other buildings are fairly massive.
But in this area, the height is, maximum height is 120, right?
110.
Even 110. I mean, the Wisconsin area,
it's a different proportion.
Even at this location, has a certain mass. There are other buildings, as you go north from this one, it's reflected black glass or something like that, or the corner.
Yeah.
So those are straight buildings, so then to put something back off of this delicate, almost residential in nature base, I think it is going to be in conflict with the overall scale of Wisconsin. It may adhere to the guideline, but then the nature of Wisconsin Avenue is not actually there.
You're talking about the existing nature?
No, the future nature in the last couple of years, plus the existing, yes. So, yeah, is this building, is that, and is this?
But you don't want that building to set the standard for Wisconsin.
No, but that building is going to stay and have this delicate base with the building stepping back. Is going to create a very residential low.
Well, I mean, the reality is the whole block of Wisconsin Avenue on the east someday will also get redeveloped.
Right.
So there'll be continuity east and west.
Can you go to the comparison between the 80 and the 70
west
foot?
Yeah.
See, what you're hearing is the base that you have there, which is essentially 25 to 30 feet tall, right? Then you set back a little bit, and then you go up, and then you set back again. What you're hearing is that you keep the base, and you go all the way up. You set back 10 feet. Then all your plumbing risers are exactly the same, because every single floor is exactly the same.
Yeah. I'm sorry. So it's from the sidewalk level to 70 feet, then greater setback.
Right there, right up to
30 feet. No, not
right
here.
There.
On your left side.
I see.
That one right there.
Yeah. It's either this. Or
that,
yes.
I don't think I'm not.
Correct, okay.
And then you step back and go up.
Go back 10 feet and go straight up.
Or 5 feet or 7 feet or 18 feet, whatever is, you know, works in terms of the architecture.
Yeah.
Because you want to have balconies as well, come back out or whatever. But the point is, if you have that low rise, which essentially is historic Bethesda.
I totally understand that, and yeah. We have projects like that that we're building on same distance, but residential base. Yep. But those are close neighborhoods, so to speak. They are not through traffic, high density. So that's our argument. This would be a different type of.
Yeah. Well, see, what you're doing is you're arguing with this. That's the issue.
Yeah.
You could be right. You know, but that's. You know, this is the law.
Well, it's a guideline.
Yeah.
So I don't think you'd have to ask the board for it. So I mean, I think, but it sounds like the panel would like to see another round of iterations.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like what Paul is recommending, what everybody's agreeing to, is that change. To step back to 5 feet or whatever it is at a 30 foot height pole. So we're I don't think we're far off from where we are.
I think the two story may be too low in my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. I think somebody may. I mean, I could see it maybe at a 40 foot or something like that. And you got to play it a little bit, but the idea is that it's lower than it is higher, and keeping the bulk of the building as simple as possible. I think if you get down to 30 feet, it may be a little squashed. I don't have a bet out, but 40 feet might be a good target. But I think the 5 foot setback, in my opinion, is adequate.
So the design guidelines, as I understand them, would have a base going up to maybe up to 70, and then a step back and going up. But am I hearing it correctly that because the height of the building is lower,
yes,
that you want the base to be lower as well to be more proportional to the
guidelines are 30 to 70.
Well, 35 to 70.
I agree with her point that the 50-50 on the right-hand side is wrong.
Right.
Right? I think the one on the left is just too tall. And I think you'll get the proportions right by lowering the base. You'll get the taller tower on top of the base.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's 30 or 40 feet, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things you've got to study. It may make your unit layouts
more
easier.
With Adagio and,
right.
So from a density standpoint, development changes. I don't see how it would change drastically.
No, it'll squeeze it. It'll squeeze it from the base, but I just, so I understand. I'm sorry. So then the setback dimension would remain at 5, but the base, but the point at the setback would be beginning at 40 feet.
Well, I think the guidelines ask for 10.
As for 10 to 15.
So you need to make an argument.
Okay, that is starting to have. Yeah, I mean that's obviously starting to have.
We don't want to argue with each other here about feet. But I will say is, what we do on all these projects, of course, is we go through the path and we figure out the project, and then we show what we need to show at this level. The garage on a 19,000 square foot, plate with an odd shape and loading and parking is very challenging. And getting those columns to come down cleanly, elevator cores and all that. Having a 10-foot setback, generally speaking, to this floor plate is going to really pressure the ability to coordinate all those things successfully. You'll get a less quality building as a result, including the courtyard in the southwest.
I think that's an argument you can make.
There are more constrained sites. That's true, but to achieve all those things, to achieve quality on a constrained site.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is we're saying that there needs to be a setback. One, I think, and that the base I think needs to read probably shorter. That's another issue. But what I'm saying is when you go to the board, you're going to have to explain why it's only if you're deciding 5 is the number rather than 10 or 15, you're going to have to explain it to them. And so what I'm saying is just because we might say.
Right.
That sounds probably about right. You're not at the end of the trip here. You're going to have to explain that and rationalize it. And so I don't know if 5 is right or 10 is right, but I know that the guidelines ask for 10. And so you got to explain, if you're not going to meet the guidelines, you explain why.
Well, isn't that intended that primarily for the 100 and 200 and 250 foot buildings? Isn't that really what that is?
Yeah, I think whatever the... You had a little bit of an excerpt from the guidelines, but
I think at lower heights, you're allowed flexibility, but I think you still need
there, yeah.
But it's not, you don't have to do it.
But the out is that at a lower height, you need to examine alternative massing.
Right, yes.
Right. I mean, that's what the guidelines
is. And
I don't see that either.
You don't have alternative massing. Yeah, right. You've got a block. I think the application can, I think you can submit the application and start the review, but as a reviewer, I think the issues with the massing and treatment of the, I think the questions are open and important enough that as a reviewer, I would want the DAP's feedback one more time before this one. You can submit the application. I don't think this is a go, no go, but I think I would want the DAP's feedback on
what
the
happened
right
to sketch plan being sketch plan. I mean,
we have
a lot of process left here, Elza, and not
you
even
do.
Getting
and
the
I'm
sketch
not,
plan.
I'm not proposing to add more process. I don't think it will extend your time, but I think one of the critical elements of sketch
How
plan
could it not extend
is
our
overall
time?
Massing. And I think the massing that you're showing is not cutting muster or meeting muster, whatever you need to muster.
Are you already scheduled with the planning board?
July.
You've extended.
To July 11th.
11 or July.
I think you've got.
Is that for sketch plan?
Mm-hmm. Sketch plan.
There's room on the June. I mean, I think to Paul's point, I don't think there's a lot of. I mean, I feel like the exercise of going through and testing the changes that the panel's talking about will not take you very long, and that you could come back in June. And it's the panel's decision, but I think doing it now as opposed to waiting to site plan.
But we're happy to do another sketch. It sounds like we have a general agreement about which way the board wants to go here, which
the
is
panel.
I think
panel.
To be fair to this team, especially if we're making them come back again, are there other comments on the design? I mean, because we're only talking about this front facade. Are there?
I'm concerned about those.
So then make sure we address all those comments to them.
Well, I mean, the 500-pound gorilla in the room is the alley, and that's
the alley.
The alley.
I don't have an answer for that.
I think there has to be a nice, clean, clear drawing,
absolutely,
not just the aerial photograph,
absolutely,
that shows all these dimensions between buildings and curb cuts and this through block connection and how it actually hooks up between these other two buildings, et cetera. I think that has to be a really
I mean, there was
technical
that
drawing.
Was the comment of every letter that we received.
That's right.
That was the comment, and so it needs to be addressed clearly.
But did I understand that from here south, the alley works well, and it's only Charlie's part that is not working well?
More or less,
it's,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's congested. I mean, I don't want to mislead you there. It's, yeah, I mean, the Adagio has voiced concerns about there being a lot of congestion at that movement, but you know, that's what happens when you have a public alley serving all of the buildings of that block. And
I'll say, I mean, the vision for the through block connection that you guys are proposing on your building, and then the vision for that alley being similar to Caddy's Alley in Georgetown, like, I like that vision a lot. I mean, Caddy's Alley seems to work in Georgetown, and it's a similar condition where you have along M Street, there's no vehicular access, so all that vehicular access and loading happens along Caddy's Alley, and it still seems to function well there. I don't know how challenging it is to replicate that here, but I think it's the vision.
You
is
don't
good.
Have that big parking obligation of all these buildings along Caddy yet.
That is
alley,
true. But you have a lot more furniture deliveries over there.
Yeah. Is this your condo?
No.
It is not.
How wide is Caddy's Alley? Building face to building face? Or
how
wide?
Photo.
How wide?
20, 22
feet.
Yeah. Right. And my carpet is small.
It jogs.
We were there yesterday and measured it. It's about 20 feet.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It jogs in the middle. So in the middle, there's probably about 30 feet, but it goes back to
right.
Well, right at your site, your site has a jog in this alley.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the way you get in off of Bradley is suspect.
Hard
That's a real hard right to get in there. And then when you come back out, you have to go down Bradley. You can't cut across, of course, and go the other way. So I think you need a good drawing just to show that you're not necessarily adding. Because that's all the letters, of course, address that issue of turning motions and exiting X number of cars at rush hour, et cetera, either in the afternoon or in the morning.
What does your traffic study show an impact? Is it 147 cars? Is that what? How many?
Our traffic study is actually showing that the trip counts don't really change because we're going from a retail use in existing surface parking lot to residential use.
And that's a positive thing. I wanted to make sure that got the discussion.
Yeah, thank you. It's less traffic impact than the current retail.
Well, can we say then, not to put words in Paul's mouth, but I'll try, can we say that the panel supports our program with the change that we're discussing?
I don't know if you guys are concerned about, let's say, no tower separation. It's going to be 300 feet of long facade with the future development, like the 8000 Wisconsin Avenue that we reviewed.
The front facade is 300 feet here? Is
like, with the future development.
See, these are low rise.
But the site is so small. I mean, if you made them do tower separation,
yeah, that's not
it doesn't
viable.
Work.
I understand
you couldn't do
that.
Anything here.
And I think at 120
back to the
feet.
At 120 feet, I don't see the tower separation as.
That goes away.
Yeah, it goes away.
And I think that the through block, the open through block connection, you know, is a significant contribution to the pedestrian realm.
Right, definitely.
I mean, long term. Obviously, short term, you wonder about it, how viable it really be, but obviously, long term, that's the right strategy.
Well, if you look at the condition now, there's a fair amount of pedestrian traffic right now from Strathmore, those communities up to Wisconsin Avenue. They walk through our parking lot.
And it'll be certainly improved.
Yeah, it'll be a poor condition.
And the fact that you got the 5 foot sidewalk that is dedicated in front of the units, that I think it works. Yeah. In my opinion, as a phase one. And you do have the open space adjacent to it, which is shared use at this point. When Washington Property Company goes forward, presumably that'll become a full width through block. And so, I mean, we can't solve all the problems with your project.
Well, thank you for that, George. And for sure, you know, we do think we've reached some sort of an agreement with Washington Property Company on how that would evolve.
Yeah, I think that's not unusual. It's not, and you're setting the brackets to which they will have to respond, so I don't see that being an issue.
Will there be an obligation to respond?
On the part of Washington Property?
Yeah, when they redevelop in the future? Or
well, they have the same sector plan.
They have to come through.
Same sector plan recommendation, so.
You can't. There's no rule. I don't know.
Well, I'd like to say that.
No, you're right. The sector plan, I'll reinforce
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I'd like to say that maybe their attorney would be better than me, but I am their attorney. Sorry.
Can you speak for them?
For now, depending on how this one turns out.
Yeah, right. I might be neither of their attorneys. Standing in the unemployment.
In any case, what we are saying is
this one keeps going like this, you know, Bob.
Is that we're not really suggesting any change in how it will function after this building is built. In other words, that seems to be a big concern, and it is a legitimate concern, but we're not asking either these landowners or any future landowners to add another 5 feet to the future alley or set our building back another 5 feet. We're not really saying anything about the alley at this point, other than
we need evidence.
Yeah, absolutely. We need the evidence.
I mean, yeah. I think that's a legitimate first step, which is what is the real reality of the alley?
Yeah.
In a document that records it at least.
We are also going through a we're required to have director level approval when. The primary means of ingress and egress is via public alley, so director level, meaning MCDOT, DOT.
Right.
So we are concurrently seeking approval of the director. I think that, Matt, do we need that at sketch?
That's pending, but there's a conflict there because the zoning ordinance tells you that you
have to provide primary access.
When there is a public alley, yeah. When there is a public alley, you have to use it.
So that's what.
That was my prepared statement this morning in the shower, which isn't this MDOT or Montgomery County DOT issue. I mean, we're looking at architecture, we're not necessarily looking at the acceptability of the alley. So.
Which we are addressing, you know, in.
I hear that, yeah.
By the site plan process, we are addressing that.
I'm just trying to take it out of this discussion.
Yeah.
That was our expectation coming in, and for that reason, we don't have our civil engineer here.
Yeah.
We were strictly expecting, or I was expecting more of a design discussion as opposed to the alleyway discussion. I know that you cannot divorce the two completely, but.
I think we've resolved it the right way.
I mean, you can also appreciate we get a lot of letters passed on to us.
Oh, sure,
so,
sure.
So we see what the issues are from your neighbors.
Well, I think, you know, as far as what we are probably concerned about are the connections, so that passage through, how does that deal with the alley, and then getting across to the other street as well. Those are issues, I think, that are in our purview. And frankly, I mean, you're saying, I think you just said, that the congestion is probably going to be a little less with the use, which is, I think, fine. Congestion isn't necessarily my issue there, but access and the turning radii and making sure you can actually get out, in and out of these garages and service areas and doors to units if they're going to be down there on the alley. That's important. We got to make sure that works.
Yeah, and that is something that we are definitely doing. We're studying that, making sure that the turning movements work. I mean, this is kind of an inherited condition for this site.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where the property has to ingress and egress, and so we have to make it work. And so we're, you know, throwing the turning movement down all along that, trying to determine, you know, can you move, can you pinch here, can you change here,
right.
And some of our constraints in making it a better functioning public alley are off-site constraints that are more than just right-of-way. There are physical improvements that are in the way that we just can't do anything about. So we're trying. It has to work for this site too. I mean,
absolutely.
If it's not working, they're going to have trouble running out units. So.
Yeah, if you could just add to that, Bob, I think we have addressed, you know, the vision for that alley, and as a potentially a residential alley with some of the imagery and by putting our residential units on that level as well. The question was, how does the rest of the block work together? And we've made an attempt to address that without speaking for our neighbors. But it is, I think, the spirit of what that alley would become, which is more than just a loading alley. Also, you know, residential community access.
I hesitate to bring it up, but this might be getting into the weeds for the alley. It might be an opportunity for a tabletop crossing or a special paving crossing as you develop the lobby details. The alley detail.
What's a tabletop?
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
That's where you raise up.
Mm-hmm.
So the traffic coming through doesn't just roll through, but it has to act.
It's a calming measure.
When you're crossing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just
the through block.
Ideally, it would have something that would designate it as a special pedestrian crossing.
It's like the waterfront metro, as an example.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure who maintains the alley. If it's the county, they're gonna pitch a fit over something like that. But we can certainly look at it.
Sorry.
Right, so can we say that the panel supports our project here with a couple of tweaks, Paul?
Well, I'll start by saying I think if you guys can make the changes that we were suggesting along the front facade on Wisconsin, so keeping that base at, you know, somewhere between 20 to 40 feet, you know, whatever works, and then having a setback of, you know, ideally 10 feet and going up. So similar to what you're showing here in that massing diagram, just change the 70 to like, you know, 30, 40 feet.
The argument is saying, we have 70 and 10 foot, that would be exactly the letter of the guidelines.
It would, yes. But we're suggesting a lower base.
I know, but if it's a lower base, then this should be shallower.
Sorry,
but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Say.
Well, if this is lower, let's say this is 35 for argument's sake, this one could be 5 years.
again, I think that's just going to be an argument that you make.
Yes. So if I'm 70, then will be no argument?
Probably not. Well, probably no argument with the board.
Well, but again, I mean, it's not, so the, you know, it's the dimension, but it's also the design.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Your
point about the elevation on the right is, I think everybody accepts that argument, what you said about the 50-50 split almost. You know, it's almost half. It is awkward. And so we agree with you. We're totally in agreement, I think, around this table. But we're just talking.
So to finish my thoughts, if you were to make those changes along Wisconsin, I'm okay personally with the alley conditions, and I would be supportive of the project and wouldn't even think you need to come back to sketch plan. I think for a project of this size, as we've mentioned, it's not a iconic building. This is more of a filler type of building. I mean, for you guys to have to come here three times is pretty
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah,
severe.
I don't want to see you again in sketch plan either.
Well, we're going to see you again before site plan.
So we should just be clear about, we should be clear about the expectations.
Right.
And so explicit, and that's, if the members want to see it, that's fine, but we should be clear that, you know, the expectation is a base of 30 to 40 feet or whatever numbers you pick, and then a setback of this minimum, whatever you pick, and that would be a condition of approval so that at site plan, the building that you see would have those features. But they need, I mean, you don't want, I don't think it's, I think we need that specificity for them and for us and the board.
I think also when they come back with site plan, just a very clear site plan for all the circulation and landscape treatment too. So right now it's really hard to have a big picture of how the site works.
So I'm going to be the lone dissenter, maybe, in part because I'm the Bethesda area representative. I also think the letter from CBAR is right on the button. I'm really concerned that this project be done right. I think there's too much ask and too little give back in terms of the design guidelines.
We have not seen these letters that you all are talking about, so.
We can forward it along too.
I'm sorry, the one you just referenced from who?
CBAR.
Oh. What is that?
We got the adoption letter.
So it's an acronym.
We can forward it.
Did you have thoughts, George, then, on moving forward or not moving forward?
I don't know how we're going to word it, but I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think they could move forward with the understanding that the base should be lower, mm-hmm. somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 or 40 feet, mm-hmm. and that the setback be no less than 5 feet.
No less than.
And develop it from there as best they think they can get through the board.
We do have one person who wants to make public comment. We're over time. Do you all want to take that one comment? Yes? Okay,
always.
Great. So Naomi, please.
Okay, thank you. I'm Naomi Spinrad. I'm here speaking primarily for CBAR. If I have something to say, this person will let you know. The CBAR letter addressed the alley in some detail in terms of access, safety, traffic coming through, and so forth. We've had a couple of people tell us that they do not walk through after dark, and certainly this alley is not one that invites anyone to walk through after dark. That will remain a condition until, unless and until, the other properties redevelop. We had proposed that there be conditions attached to improve safety conditions in the alley that related to traffic enforcement, parking enforcement, lighting. There's nothing in here about lighting, and that applies to the through block connection as well. Excuse me. I'd like to also address the private alley, which actually continues and jogs left or north, and is also full of dumpsters and parked cars in a rather ramshackle building. And this is not a pleasant setting at all. So you have a through block connection coming from Wisconsin as it's been proposed, where you walk through a 25-foot tall, 22-foot wide tunnel, and you come down a flight of stairs into what is essentially an urban alley with dumpsters, with cars parked, and very possibly with rats and who knows what else coming through. I think this is not a real public benefit. CBAR thinks this is not a real public benefit. As far as traffic in the alley, one thing that hasn't been mentioned is that this property is within a block of the proposed south entrance to Metro and the Red Line. There has been another building in Bethesda that has no garage, and that's never even been considered here. This building would add well over 100 cars coming through. That adds to safety issues. As CBAR mentioned in its letter, there are now drivers diverting from Wisconsin Avenue, heading south to cut through the alley and avoid the backups on Wisconsin. The alley is not pleasant. It's also, I believe, considerably longer than Patty Alley. I would like to know if they come back, and I hope you will have them come back before a sketch plan, what is the largest truck that could maneuver in and out of your loading dock? Is it a 30-foot truck? Is it a 50-foot truck? I think this is very important to know and should be addressed. You all may be aware there's another gap between the buildings to the west and the further south. So there is an opportunity for another through block connection further south on that block. In terms of overall density, I believe more than half of this building is coming from BOS density. And that's pretty cheap density. In talking about massing, that's making a huge contribution to the mass of this building, and I think that's something you all ought to consider whether that's appropriate. We would support a 10-foot setback on the base. I think the lower base makes sense. And I think Rod Henderer summed it up very, very succinctly with there's a lot being asked for, not much being offered here. That's how the community feels. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just ask a question there? I mean, what you said that it's not a public benefit. That it is the mid-block cross, the mid-block connection is not a public benefit?
Yeah, basically you're giving us a quarter of a mid-block connection.
Well, we're given what we can control.
It comes down into a very unattractive place.
So would you prefer for there not to be the crossing?
The plan calls, the plan recommends a crossing. Certainly to the south is another option. There's no guarantee that future development on the west side of the alley will match up with where this particular connection is.
So if the connection were on the south side, is there that guarantee?
I'm sorry?
No, it's not south side of our side.
Either way, you have to jog a little bit to get to the rest of the connection on the other side of the alley. Whether mm-hmm. the through block portion from Wisconsin is on the north or south side of the street, you have to do a jog to get to the rest of the connection that goes through the staff.
So there's no one property that controls all of it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So you know, it may be a benefit. It may be nothing. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the people we've talked to don't use even the connection that exists now, which is through that particular lane on the west side, and then through the parking lot that exists between the current buildings on this site. They don't use it at night. Is largely because they have to walk through the alley to get from one to the other. Mm-hmm. And in effect, this connection makes for more of an alley-type setting.
Is the
does it start to set the stage for the change of that alley? Yeah.
I don't know if it starts to set the stage, because what we've been told, I'm also on the Implementation Advisory Committee, and what we've been told there is that, I'm sure you're aware of this, is there's no telling when Washington Properties will redevelop, and that they have a number of long-term lessees. Mm-hmm. So there's apparently no hurry on their part to redevelop.
I think that's probably pretty accurate. So that's what I'm struggling with, is I'm not sure what you're asking this applicant to do based on what we can control.
I mean, I appreciate the problem, but I don't think we have a solution yet.
Well, I think they're meeting the spirit of the sector plan. They're meeting the spirit of the through block connection. They are setting a tone. So I think it's unfair to them to brand them as creating something that's evil. You know, I don't see it that way. In other words, I think you have to look at it. You know, the vessel is half full, not half empty.
Well, it begs the question of whether it's important to have that mid-block connection or not.
Yeah, I think that's why Bob was asking.
Yeah.
Suggesting just not having it at all? And I don't know if that's the right answer. I think that's what they're struggling with.
What we have proposed in the CBAR letter is that if it goes forward, there be conditions attached regarding lighting, signage, parking enforcement, cleaning up the alley, and so on, to be worked on with the county. Mm-hmm. And that those conditions must be met. And that should be part of this.
And we'll be doing that anyway.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah, but well, remember that we want that this to be successful too.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, we're not in it. We're not trying to create a nuisance for our own property. We're definitely going to want that to be an attraction for our property, and then by extension, that would be for the community as well. I mean, that's the way we look at it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think from our standpoint, we have no objection to any of that.
No.
We don't usually attach those kind of conditions in our discussions.
And I think it'll be something we would be looking at as part of preliminary plan.
That's what I'm
saying. Site plan anyway.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Most definitely.
Good. So I want to summarize the conditions just to be clear. So the first is that the applicant will need to provide a clear drawing of the alley connections, dimensions, and turning movements for trucks. They should provide a lower base, approximately 35 to 40 feet, and a step back no less than, I got 5 feet from George, but I've heard 10 feet as well. So do we have the dimension we're working?
I would say 20 to 40 feet base.
20? Oh, even below the design guidelines?
I think, well, 30 then. 30 to
35 is the minimum, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't give them a 5 foot window.
Okay, so 35 to 45,
yeah,
approximately.
It allows some flexibility.
Yeah. Okay, 35 to 45, approximately, or we could say 35 to 50.
I mean, it's either going to be another floor or two floors, basically, right?
Yep.
Okay, so we're comfortable with 35 to 45. And then in terms of the step back, what dimension are we comfortable saying? No less than 5 feet?
No less than five.
Definitely less than five.
Five,
but strong language to shoot for.
No less than 5 feet, recommending meeting the 10 to 15 feet. Recommending meet the 10, the minimum 10. Okay, recommending the minimum 10. And then lastly, as Chowjoy mentioned, provide a clear site plan and to see the landscaping and how the whole site works together. Those were the conditions. And then in terms of public benefit points, the project is on track to achieve at least the minimum 10 points if these recommendations are met. Okay?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. And then straw vote. Who votes in support? All right. Who votes in support to meet the conditions that were just mentioned? Just four. Okay, and then who does not support? We have one. Okay, great. All right. Thank you all.
Now, when you said you don't want to see us,